I need to all watch right. it.
Okay, I was waiting for you to do a timestamp.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. See, I'm just completely effing out of it right now. Yeah, I have got the Discord open.
Cool.
Fast now. Got that going.
Yeah.
I haven't got the Discord open.
It doesn't. It doesn't matter. I'm literally just using it to keep track of where we're at.
Beautiful.
Yeah. No. All right.
Welcome to Player 2 Pixelcast episode 170. I'm Robin. I've kind of been battling a frog in my throat, so I'm not 100% on this, so yeah, just get that out of the way now. And I think this is going to be a little bit of a briefer episode, because I think as we're recording this, as Melbourne Games Week is starting, even though I'm the only one in Melbourne at the moment, we are, it's a hive of chaos and activity, so we'll just get to it. So, Tim, good to have you on board, as always. I'll be taking over the show for this one.
Roped in at the last moment, like, how, I'm going to keep this one short, how dare people have lives outside of this thing?
And Sarah, it's good to have you back for the second time in a row.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I know we're all fighting our internal and external battles, literally, right now, while Rob's fighting off a frog. And Tim's battling with
what should be exciting.
What should be the future of technology? But you know, well, you're going to get there, I'm sure. And I, you know, I decide to take a little bit of leave off of work, and my body decides to go. Oh, quick, she's down. So yes, but I'm a lot better than what I was probably like 2 days ago.
That's good. That's the
which is really
thing.
Good. On the up and up, so I can, you know, be celebratory with everybody for the week that is games in Australia, but more specifically Melbourne.
Yeah. So we're pretty much going to keep this one fairly short. We're just going to talk about some stuff we've been playing. So we don't have a topic for this one. Unfortunately, it's been a little chaotic in the back end of just getting everyone together for this one. So I'm going to let Tim start first, because message of the week of chaos.
We are gonna keep this one short, because this is a short ass game. Looked at a list of stuff I finished this year and said, I just need to add another thing that so I don't know, maybe people have seen this floating around the social medias. I did. I thought it looked really cool. It's called The Messenger. And it's basically, what if Death Stranding but not mean? And so you just
Death Stranding but not mean.
Then you're just on this little very small, spherical, like almost Mario Galaxy sized planet. Which is just a contained neighborhood, and you're just a cool little cell shaded. Game has fucking great visual style. Considering, like, this is just something you run in a browser, I should probably remember to link it in the, I know where we usually link to the reviews, I guess I'll link to the actual game, because you just kind of put it on and go.
Yeah.
And you're just, like, this kind of, like, young teenage-looking kid running around, talk to a person. Oh, I need this thing here, or I forgot that there. Can you take? And it's literally just errands, but it's like just kind of wholesome, charming, like just an hour of just like, this world just looks great. And it definitely has like, we just made a little project to see what we could do vibe, and but we made it like super self-contained and like lovely and charming. And it runs on, I played it on a Surface Pro from Surface Pro 6, which is a pretty old model now. I also tested it on my phone, but my earphones died. It's a little bit about music. It's kind of chill. It works. But, like, yeah, again, a three-year-old, decidedly mid-range Android was, if not blazing, was playing it sufficiently enough.
That is always kind of good to see. Because, mobile's still just advancing way too fast.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, and I've clearly played quite well with I mean, I'm playing on a Surface. I literally just use the keyboard. I don't know if there's like a proper like control pad support. It might be better with it. It's an hour long game though. We probably don't need it. This is something that's like, hey, I'm stuck on the City Rail train. It's not even City Rail anymore. Fuck, what is it? Just Sydney Trains. I think they changed it to.
Yeah.
I've got an hour to kill. Got a connection. Let's go.
Yeah. That's actually sick.
Like, is it like basically the fetch quests are to progress?
It's literally just like five or six fresh. It's just like five or six fresh fetch quests. That's it. It doesn't pretend to be anything else, and it's kind of great for that.
Is it a puzzle? Like, are there puzzles to figure out the fetch quests? Well,
they don't. There are the main thing is like this. Again, I said this is like an hour long game, so it can't be much in the way of puzzles. No, but the main thing is like it obviously doesn't really give you a minimap with pointers, so you just kind of have this time to like figure out where everything actually is and where these people are, and then you run around and it's like this cute. You can see other people playing it simultaneously. You see other versions of you just kind of like running around the map because there is an option you can change your outfit a little bit, which is nice because it was driving me mad that my character was wearing a mask, like a, you know, hospital, like just standard gray one, which is fine, but stupid to do outdoors, and none of this game takes place indoors.
Mm.
And it really is just like this simple, charming, completely free, just straight up in your browser, just go, looks great, really, really good cel-shading style. Doesn't look as good as Death Stranding 2, that's a bit unfair.
But, you know, its development budget was probably just like a little...
Its development budget was probably the spare time of the guys who made it, I would imagine.
It's kind of nice that, you know, we talked last week about like a very isolated, like component of mini game that I was playing with Kabuto Park, and you've kind of gone and found something relatively similar in a one contained mechanic.
Probably even more streamed down. You cannot get much take much more off the bone than this.
I don't know. I mean, it's like game challenge accepted. I'm sure somebody will basically make it more bare bones than that eventually.
Yeah. No.
Is it a game? Or does it basically become just a text-based adventure by that point?
Let me be happy about this, like, joyful little innocent thing. And not, into deep thought about it.
Fine.
I will read.
I've been struggling
just getting my new computer up and running properly.
But isn't it interesting, Tim, that you're sitting here struggling to get this new behemoth computer working properly, but you found such joy in a game that you could run on like a 4-year-old Surface Pro?
Probably a 6-year-old Surface Pro, actually.
I did not count the years. Round up, round down. I'm going with 4 because it's my daughter's lucky number. So, like, whatever.
Yeah, you.
If you have a computer
that works or a smartphone that still like doesn't drive you spare with waiting apps to open, you can probably play this game just fine.
Cool.
That sounds like a pretty good deal. All right. I think we're going to save the best till last. So that means it's time for me to whiff my pick. And
wow, Sarah just made a face.
No, I mean. Like,
I don't know if I should be flattered or if I should be concerned. That's a lot of responsibility.
I think
seriously.
No, trust me. You've got the game. You've got the big hype game. I've got Pac-Man World.
I will murder the big hype game.
You're not going to do that.
No, I won't.
So I basically reviewed Pac-Man World 2 Repack. It hasn't gone up at the time we're recording. Hopefully, it will. You know, Boss Man's been on a break. And so this is basically a remake of Pac-Man World 2 from 20-odd years ago, which is, you know, Namco doing sticky Pac-Man in a 3D platformer, sort of doing the thing where Pac-Man, the story is silly. It's like the ghosts come to cause trouble in the Pac village one night, and they steal there's this tree in the center of the village that has golden fruits, which are the fruits that you collect in the original arcade game. They get stolen, and it turns out they're like a seal of this tree that has imprisoned an uber evil ghost called Spooky, like this super evil ghost. So he's escaped and laid waste to the Pac-Land. So Pac-Man has to go on an adventure to recover the fruits and stop Spooky in a way that is very, we have Mario 64 at home.
Cool. So how many decades ago is that now?
That's 3 for Mario 64, 2 for Pac-Man. So, you know, you go through, you've got the world map with the little things. You don't have the dynamic stages like Mario does. Basically, there's 6 worlds, each with 4 stages to work through. And then one of the things that really pushes a lot of, like, replay the stages when you beat them. So when you clear a stage, you unlock a time attack mode and you try to beat that. And each stage has like three, like you have the base objective of getting to the end to beat it. But then you also get like three little mission goals. So like one is collect all the fruits or defeat all the enemies or destroy all the bear traps or all like three things like that. And one of them is like get the bronze medal in the time trial. So so you have a thing to a reason to replay these stages to go back to them. And when you complete the missions, you get like costumes and other unlocks for Pac-Man. And there's a lot of this sort of replay to do things in it. Cause, around the village, you have little statue spots and you can get coins in the stages to use in like the gashapon machines. There's an arcade. There's little gashapon machines. You can get little statues to stick around the Pac village. There's unlockable arcade games to play. I didn't end up unlocking any. There's a whole bunch of unlock stuff. But they've done so this is a full remake visually. Like it looks pretty nice. I mean, some people might decry the style over the original game. I had a quick play of the original just to sort of have a look. But the style was nice and colorful. There's all voice acting in the cutscenes. The original game was just text. But they changed up the boss battles. So at the end of each world in the original game, there was just like one boss battle that was repeated. But each world has a different boss battle, which was kind of cool. But some of them were real grindy to play through. Like you would have to wait while the enemy does their attack and dodge it. And then you had this little small window to land a hit and take him out. And for me, what I found was that, especially on the final boss, like what would happen is you'd fight the first phase, then you fight the second phase, and the third phase, you had to wait until these platforms came up and you had to jump up the platforms. And if you did not jump on the platforms, as soon as they started appearing, you were not going to have enough time to get in range to use your attack. So it became really painful because...
You've not been having a good couple of weeks, have you?
No.
We're watching just for those playing at home. Bless him. He's just going off to the side every couple of moments. I'm waiting to ask him a question about it, So when you're saying there's like four stages per level, are you saying it's similar to Mario 64? There's like the one level, and then there's four things that you have to do in that one level. No, okay. Cool.
So what happens is like
yeah,
you have the central hub village, and then you go and leave through an exit. And you get the world map, and it's like sort of six spokes that leave it. And each spoke has like four stops. So they're like four separate levels. You don't get that thing where you come back to the earlier stage. When you replay them, it's basically exactly the same, just the time condition changes. It's not like Mario 64 where you revisit that world and it's like a different route you have to take in it to complete the objective. But there is something they added here. Was that when you beat Spooky at the end of World 6, there's like a whole brand new second quest adventure.
Okay.
That's been added. The downside is that's sort of like advanced mode. Each world only has two stages to work through now instead of four. So you have one stage and then a boss battle. But it's all harder. It's sort of like it remixes the stages, which was kind of cool. But I only played the first couple before I just ran out of pack passion, pack energy. I mean, it's fun, you know, Pac-Man, you know, runs around, you can punch enemies, you can kick them. You can do a thing called the butt bounce, which is the most fun thing. You jump.
Honestly, I'm pretty sure that's what I call, like, attacking in every platformer when I was 8 years old.
Yeah. But then you do the bounce, and he bounces up, and there's a little, and then as he comes up, there's a little ring that sort of shrinks around him, and you time it right, he does like a super bounce that's like even higher.
Okay.
And it's kind of, that was kind of fun to get around the levels to sort of work through some of the platforming challenges. But the camera was real annoying, which kind of sucked. In the original game, the camera was sort of fixed, but here they've made it like freely controllable. Okay. But the control options you couldn't access in the menu in the front end. You had to go in game. So I spent 90% of my time with the game playing with like the controls mapped nowhere near the way I wanted, the sensitivity not being great, And annoyingly, like, the camera wouldn't track properly.
Yee.
Yeah. Is it something that is... So is this something that is a platform exclusive, or is this kind of like across PlayStation, Switch, all the
It's on everything, PC, Xbox, PlayStation, yeah. Switch.
It's a shame because you can kind of, it would have been interesting to have seen if there was some platform exclusivity, if there was something relative to that platform that they could have made interesting.
But yeah, I can't see anybody really fighting to get Pac-Man as their platform exclusive these days, though.
That's the thing.
I agree.
Like, so, in this day and age, like, if you're, you know, you're after nostalgia stuff, you're probably going to go buy the Mario Galaxy collection, right? Or if you want something new for a platformer and you've got a PS5, you're going to go buy Astro Bot.
Astro's really good. So is Mario Galaxy, actually.
Yeah. And the thing for me is, like, I feel this game needed to do a lot more to be worth it in this day and age. Like, on PC, the price is all right. Like, it's... I think it was like $30-something. It was a little higher on console. And that I could see if you're on PC and worth a punt. But on the consoles, I'd rather just, like, it was like $50, I think, on PSN. Because I think it's got some of the content included that you had to buy separately on PC. But it's like, save up a bit more and go buy Astro Bot or the Mario Galaxies. I mean,
get Kirby and the Forgotten Land. That was good.
Kirby.
That was good fun.
Yeah,
Kirby was good.
Or Donkey Kong.
I forgot about all Kirby.
That's it.
Yeah. Oh, I've not played Donkey Kong Bonanza yet.
Ukulele, which is also somehow already getting remastered.
Yes.
What the hell is happening? I bet you get Ukulele for like $5 in a sale at the moment on PC.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Steam sale will be ending in the next day or so. So who knows? But yeah, just a little bummed out that it could have been better. But I appreciate that they went to the effort, but it's like, could you just done a remaster or just brought the original back in some form? But yeah.
Yeah.
The full review should hopefully be out this week. So
maybe by the time you're listening to this, who knows?
Hopefully so.
Crossing fingers.
But yeah. But that leaves you, Sarah, with, well, the ancient Greek hotness of Hades 2.
Ah, yes.
And it is hotness. Is it as horny as the first one?
I have not gone into the horny bits yet, just because for me personally, I'm not entirely interested in the horny bits. Too long, don't read. I got the original Hades early access and loved it. But I only really got to the point of actually completing the game or like getting through the entire run when I got it on PS5, which looked absolutely glorious. Oh my God.
Probably would.
Oh, it was so good. And also, it just played so much better with like the controller that way. Hades 2, I bought the early access mainly just because I'm one of those people who, like, I wanted to support the developer. It's like I knew they were going to be doing something really good. I was interested in how they were going to be going along the way. And then I went and rebought it on Switch 2 when it came out properly because I'm an idiot. And I like, you know, buying things multiple times because that is how I roll. And that's the reason why I don't have any disposable income.
Yep.
So I bought it on Switch 2 and similar. It's, you know, it's not PS5 level, but it looks so much better than playing it on my 2019 laptop, which is like, you know, I've got like a 6 to 7 year old laptop. It plays okay. I can hang it up, like, you know, plug it in with an HDMI cable. We'll make do, but it's just like, it's not my, yeah, nah.
Probably so, much, much better than the Switch 1 version, because Hades 1 and the Switch 1 just ran at the same resolution, handheld and docked. And I have read that the same is the case with Hades 2, which is like, oh man, 720p on a 4K 60 whatever inch TV that people have these days. Ooh. Not going to look good.
The Switch 2 upgrade path is not bad. So, like, you know, you can get the Switch 1 version of Hades 2 and then the upgrade is for Switch 2 is free. So life is grand. So if I want to, you know, share it out to, you know, on my you know, little Nintendo network, which I can't do at the moment because it is a blue label game, and no. So, but yeah, look, in terms of what I've enjoyed about it so far, I enjoy that it was like just a slightly different story to Hades 1. I I enjoy the I'm only at the point, I'm very early on. This is what I'm saying, Rob. It's like, you know, oh, you're saved best last. Dude, I'm going to murder this because I have not gotten far. So you really, you know, so I'm at the point where I've beaten, like, you know, heckity, I've beaten the first one. I haven't gotten through the sirens yet. But what I'm doing is basically I do what I do in every game that I enjoy, which is I just go and grind for various materials that I need in order to level up my character as I go. Now, different to how they did it in Hades 1. So Hades 1, you had like a kind of like a list of contracts that you could fulfill in order to unlock different abilities, unlock different rooms in, you know, and different other things that you could do around their palace, that kind of thing down there in hell. Here, it has that very more kind of pagan vibe. So basically, you're brewing, you're concocting these different spells in order to conjure different things. It doesn't unlock all of the ways to kind of get those materials first up. So it takes a while for you to unlock the shovel, to unlock the, there's a kind of an item that lets you communicate with some of the little, some of the dead ghosts that you see as you're going through the different parts of the map. And I still haven't unlocked the fishing rod, which is really annoying me because I need to get bronze or something for it. And I've not gotten that far in the game that I've gotten bronze. So, but there's a lot of things that, you know, it has a very nostalgic feel. You're still kind of giving offerings to some of your favorite characters, some of your favorite gods in order to, you know, get certain trinkets from them that can help you with certain buffs as you're going through your levels. And then if you want to, you know, offer to other certain ones that you want to develop more rapport with, you just keep offering and offering and offering, which I have not done. So I'm essentially...
Good old video game relationship system, like just giving presents until someone likes you.
Yes, I know. And I don't like doing it on principle. It annoys me. It's like, I would, like, for me, I gave most presents in Hades 1 to Dusa. Not because I wanted a relationship with, like, a headless being, like, with, you know, just basically a head. I just thought that, you know, she was sweet and kind of cool. And that's fine. Like, I wanted to be a friend. She looked like she needed a friend.
You deserve two, lady. Like,
you deserve a friend. And similar in this one, it's like probably give the most stuff to Dora so far because it's like, you know, you look like you need a friend. You're stuck in my tent the entire time. Go and hoard somebody else for fuck's sake. Like, what the hell?
You know, don't she's going to come back.
Don't hang around me. I'm hardly home. I'm off on my, you know, great adventure to go and kill time. So, which is what I'm literally doing every time that I'm going through all the various parts of the map. Mm-hmm.
I see what you're doing there, Supergiant.
Yeah, that's this is like yeah. The...
Make us feel guilty for our life choices. But yeah, look, it has a lot of that same feel. You kind of, you're going through, you know, each of the different levels and, you know, you go into different rooms and each of those rooms, once you, you know, defeat all the enemies, you get certain different rewards. The rewards, this time unlock, certain cards, almost like in a tarot deck, that give you passives. So, and you can increase, and each of those, tarot cards has a certain kind of point value. So when you start the game, you can have, you know, 10, I guess you'd say 10 points worth of passives at each of them, you know, so I might unlock one that might have 1 point and the one that might have 3 and one might have 0. And it gives me, you know, one that might give me like a death defiance. So if I die, I come back with a certain percentage of health. One might let me kind of get through, increase my speed a little bit. One might help me actually get a little bit of health as I go through each door to kind of, you know, so I'm not basically really healing. So it's got a lot of that kind of very similar stuff to what Hades had, but it's just contextualized a little bit differently. So as I said, I'm really early on in the story. I know there's a bunch of people who've gotten 10 times further and they have their absolute favorite characters that they're just like, oh my gosh, Sarah, you're not talking about them all. Well, you know what? I probably haven't met them yet. I've probably read about them in books of my own, but I probably haven't met them in this game yet.
Met the Hades interpretations.
Yeah. And to be fair, it is it is a game like all your favorite little, you know, roguelikes where you kind of sit and play it a little bit and put it down, come back, play a little bit and put it down, which is what I always adore about roguelike games. It's one of the things that's always got me very into the genre, that in terms of my, you know, lifestyle, I can really commit to trying to achieve a certain goal, or I can just go, you know what, I just want to have a go, you know, and see how far I go that time. And then, you know, I'm still going to get something out of it that's going to help me in the long term as I progress my character. But if I don't get to the end today, that's fine. Like, you know, doing my hashtag best. So I'm really very early on. I know there's a bunch of people who have gotten a lot further. I know there's a lot of people who will have their absolute favorite characters. Some of the character redesigns are absolutely gorgeous. So Artemis is beautiful. And she also, they're parts now of the kind of witch's camp where, you know, Artemis will, you know, sit and, you know, like near this deer statue. And, you know, she and Lenaway will just sit and they will sing together. It's just nice. Oh. And you just leave that, for a little bit. Yeah, it's nice. It's cool. There's a couple of new characters in there as well, which is pretty great. I haven't, at the moment, I've really been, like, you know, the main team that I keep getting are mainly Demeter, Apollo, sometimes getting Zeus, sometimes getting Poseidon, but mainly getting, Demeter, Apollo, Aphrodite a few times, just because I'm really at that kind of early stage. And a lot of the buffs that they have are very similar to what they had in Hades 1. But I guess some of the things that they do a bit differently, so some of the attacks are a little bit different. You have your standard attack, you have your special attack, and you have what's called your cast attack, which I'm not as great at, but it's essentially almost like a AoE kind of field, which you can, if you get close enough to a group of enemies, cast AoE field, and it kind of traps them in that area if you need them to. Now, if you actually have some effects on that area, effect things, so you might have Demeter, which will sit there and give them chill. You might have a shocking ability from Zeus. You might have Hestia, who's now the one who's dealing with fire, will give them a scorching effect that just kind of keeps scorching them and kind of gradually, you know, building, and then just kind of takes about 75% of the health. Some of those are pretty cool. I'm not as great at those yet, but it's something kind of adapting to. And the weapons that I've got so far, so I've got magical staff, I've got kind of the two knives, and I've got the axe. So, and the axe is not really, the knives are more my jam, the axe a little bit too heavy for my playstyle.
I'm not coming here like as an extreme axe guy. I'm also like a fan of like getting around nimbly, but I did find, like, I never got as into Hades as most people did. And maybe it's because when I docked my Switch, it's like, this game looks like garbage on my TV. This is kind of taken away the fun now that I've gotten home.
Yeah.
But I did find more than a lot of games, even in this genre, it was pretty good at, like, making it fun to just not stay with one weapon combination too long.
Yeah. And then it has that thing where if you, you know, it gives you the additional benefits of you'll have one chosen weapon for that particular run that you'll get some extra consumables from that if you actually use it for the entire run. So they still has that kind of same thing that they have in Hades 1. And I mean, Hades 1, there was a few, like, I didn't like, you know, the gun one. That was not for me. I just didn't like it. But yeah, I mean, they do make it quite fun. The dash is really good. The special attacks and standard attacks are pretty good. I find with Hades 2, I'm playing a lot more kind of, kind of far away from the enemies, more so than kind of going really in for melee combat, which I, and that might just be kind of the play style of that character, or it maybe just allow me to do that a little bit better. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it at the moment.
Well, it's sounding pretty darn solid. So that's always a good thing to hear when you get a sequel.
It's a solid, it's a solid game. They've spent their time doing it. They've listened to feedback. They've made it the people who appreciate it can still appreciate it. They've made it so that newcomers into the series, like if you haven't played the first one, it's kind of okay. You'll kind of pick up the context pretty quickly. As I said, it's a little bit at the moment. I'm enjoying it so far. I'm sure that somebody else at Player 2 is reviewing this and going, oh my gosh, Sarah, you have forgotten 57 things and I'm going to mention all my review. And when that person does, please read it because it won't be me.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing though, is like when you are rambling, even if you have notes, you still forget stuff. Reviews are good like that because you can be like, go back and if you're doing it properly, proofread and go, oh shit, I meant to say this and then put that in there. I am going to be very curious at the end of the year though to see where the ultimate indie darling lands because like this and Silk Song like splashing within a month of each other.
That is some violence.
Yeah.
And like this Blue Prince is probably going to have it sold out as well.
It's going to be a hard year. But at the same time, the question is for, you know, has Hades 2 done something different to what Hades 1 has done? So, you know, and what you're saying in terms of Silksong, some of those mechanics are a bit different from what I've heard. And, you know, Blueprints, it's a very different original kind of intellectual property as well. So while I would love Hades 2 to get it, I wouldn't think that they would. And it's not because it isn't a good game. It's just because, you know, there are other games that have built a little bit more on there. On their franchise, it made it a bit different and similarly enjoyable.
I mean, the thing is, I actually don't, in and of itself, have a big issue with like just a more polished version of what came before. Just so long as it's not every year we're just doing another one of these and it quickly becomes tiring. And it's been a long time since Hades, and it's also a long time since Hollow Knight. So both of those can kind of quite happily get away with just like that, but better. Especially since both of them haven't really had, God, there've been a shit ton of Metroidvanias, but like. There hasn't been another exact scratching of the itches that either of them give.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Those particular itches haven't been scratched like that in a while.
But you do find, with Silksong, it's not even commentary. It's like almost like social cohesion of little parts of it that are completely taken out of the context of the entire game that are just, you know, that they're memeing the internet. You know, a lot more quickly than probably what Hades. I know, internet will internet. How dare we, you know, sit and, when the modems were screaming, when we're, you know, powering up the internet the first time, we should have taken that as a warning.
The horrors. We really should.
Oh my gosh.
My biggest beef with beef with Silksong at the moment isn't even Silksong's fault. It's fucking Donkey Kong's. And Nintendo, like, putting a different jump button in, like, all of their major games. Apparently, like, Zelda, Mario Odyssey and Donkey Kong all have different fucking jump buttons. And I don't know if it's because I'm older and I just can't flip back and forth between things. Also, like, when I was 8, there were only 2 buttons on a control pad in the first place. So how much of a problem could this have been? But, yeah, I just can't do Silksong. I have to finish Donkey Kong Bonanza. I'm kind of, because I keep on fucking dying because the jump button's different and the muscle memory is just getting crosswired.
I'm the same as you. I went and got, not for jump buttons, but I've been sitting with Final Fantasy Tactics now for several days, and I've not started it. Good sir, like there's no way at the moment. There's too much going on, and every time I want to start it, it's like I'm about 3 seconds away from falling asleep. So I'm just like I don't know how long the introductory bit is going to be that I need to pay attention to before I actually get to start the game because this is Final Fantasy, and of course that will happen. Okay, so now you need to tell me what each of the 3 different buttons are. Because I don't know. All the different jump buttons. And Mario, God. Donkey Kong Bonanza, and Zelda, go.
Mario has a logical one, I'll say that. I want to say Donkey Kong Bonanza's off to one side and Zelda's off to the other side.
I'm getting my controller because I want to see this. Hang on.
The thing is, I don't actually know off the top of my head. This is a when I'm sitting in front of the game and like... So I want to say the Donkey Kong jump button's off to the right. whatever the heck that button is. Means Zelda is probably the left. I'm pretty sure Mario is like the nice, sensible, just down center.
Lower. Mario's B. Kirby's A. Kirby and Donkey Kong are both A.
This is way more conversation than this really needed. But yeah, basically, Silk Song is A, and Donkey Kong is not, and it is breaking my brain trying to switch between them, especially with Silk Song, where it's so easy to die, and you think you jumped, and you, like, wasted something else instead.
Oof.
So I've literally just put Silk Song on hold, and I'm hoping I'm not so deep that I won't be able to get back into it, because I was starting to really enjoy it, and I was like, oh, I was also really enjoying Donkey Kong Bonanza. I want to finish that, and I have to be pretty fucking close. I'm like 20-something hours in at this point. And so I just need to bowl over Donkey Kong so I can make Silk Song my central Switch 2 game.
There's been too much coming out at the end of this year.
Until Metroid Prime.
But notice how none of us are talking about Ghost of Yotei.
None of us bought it. I think it sold fine. I played a lot of Assassin's Creed Shadows, and I'm like, I don't... Yotei looks cool, but I don't need another one of those. Also, since this is just a random... when you're at a bunch of camera, they had PS5, Star Wars Outlaws was, I want to say, this is going to be precise just for fun, like 1,980 yen, which is like $21 or something Australian for a new copy. And I had about 1,936 yen worth of points on my Yodobashi card. So I was like, you know what? It'd be like 40 cents to buy this game. It seems pretty good. I still haven't finished Death Stranding 2 though. So it's still been sitting. I haven't even taken it out of a plastic bag, much less the shrink wrap. So chances of getting around to something like Ghost of Yotei, gonna be a while.
Yeah, AAA's a little out of my budget right now for...
Donkey Kong, I can split my time between TV and the train. That is still the biggest advantage.
And that's the same with me. Like, for me, I can, you know, Kirby and things like that. And also going back and playing Hyrule Warriors on Switch 2. Not Age of Calamity, but the original one. She's like, oh my god, it is so good.
Confirm it's just eyeballing it. No, because I have Age of Calamity and I've never actually played it, but apparently...
Age of Calamity, it still sucks. It still sucks. It's not as good.
Apparently runs a lot better, though, is what I'm getting. No, I read something, and I don't know if it's true. Like, they kind of just fucked up the, like, portable programming on the first one, to the point where, like, even on the original Switch, it was, like, still trying to run at 1080. On the original Switch's handheld mode, which means that on Switch 2, it has naturally just become this absolutely beautiful, like, native resolution just by lucky, stupid default.
Yes, and that is what makes it amazing, is that, and I got pretty far in Hyrule Warriors, and I deleted the entire save and started again because I'm a horrible human being, but it looks so much better. On the handheld, it looks a lot better than what it does on Switch.
Always trying to run at a higher resolution than the Switch actually had in the first place. So when the Switch 2 came around, it was suddenly unleashed.
They didn't cap it. They just did not think of capping it, which I found the most hilarious thing, because it came out on the Wii U and the 3DS before that. It's like, what the hell are they doing? But Age of Calamity is the resolution is not changed. It runs more stable. There have been reports of more crashes on
also
Switch
apparently,
2. I haven't.
Also, apparently, was it the first Mario Rabbids was like double buffered VSync or something? So it actually runs at 60 frames per second, because it was like it never hit that on the original Switch, which made it run at 30. So it was just like this free crazy performance upgrade. We've gotten really technical.
My pastime, basically, and everybody's just like, oh, why aren't you playing games? So my pastime has been going through my entire Switch library and just going, how much better does it look on the Switch 2? And some stuff, that's good. And some stuff it gets a patch because Nintendo deems it to be worthy, and then it's a lot better, and that's why the reason why you buy a Switch 2. And then you find those hidden gems like Hyrule Warriors, and you're like, oh, yes, my heart is complete. I can go and play as Sheik again. I am so happy. Never, ever let this moment die. And I can do that on the train as well. Or at lunch.
Cool. So it turns out we've been playing quite a few things.
Yes. Mainly. Yes. But I was told to talk about Hades too.
And after this,
Here you go.
Just for people listening, my webcam's not working at the moment, which is really not helping with the talking over each other thing.
We're having fun. I'm gonna make it's great.
Rob happy. I'm gonna play RoboCop after this.
I bought the sequel-y DLC thing that's riffing on the raid in the Steam sale, so I'm gonna sit down and play that.
Well, this was $5, and like I now have a PC that's gonna run circles around it. I feel like that's the bargain of the century. Yeah. So much so that I'm like, do I even need Alan Wake 2? Huso is probably staring daggers at me. I do really want to play Alan Wake 2. I also really want to play RoboCop. And I just don't have a bajillion hours in my life.
Yeah, I hear. Yep.
Total mood.
Total mood. We got to stop dabbling in games. We got to actually. Yeah. We got to finish this.
And finish. We should probably finish the podcast as well. I feel like we have just turned this into.
But it was great to catch up.
It was fun.
Yes, it was. Thank you both for coming on.
And we're all feeling very prepared for the rest of this week.
Yes.
So. Yes, it'll be a good time.
I'm glad I have my break days at the moment, the next couple of days, before PAX Insanity.
Yes, I wish you the very best of luck with the PAX Insanity. I will deal with my own insanity to do with that. I'll go around like a pleb. It's going to be fantastic. I'm going to enjoy not knowing anybody and just like not going around as if. I can just be my own person, and it's so cool. I can go and stand in lines for 2 hours to go and play Age of Imprisonment, and it'll be great, which I accidentally called to a friend Age of Inquisition the other day because I kept thinking of Dragon Age Inquisition, which I should not have thought of.
Oh, man.
Oh, but it's no. Age of Imprisonment. But it looks pretty good, too, because we all need these other games. Yeah.
I've got to try and get in the queue for Prime 4.
Yeah,
that's the big one for me.
We'll hold.
I think the queue. Sure. I just want to know how long the queue for Prime. I really want to get a read on like how curious people are for that. Actually, I'm more interested in seeing the size of the line than I am actually playing the game.
I think it's the first. Have they been playing? Have they been kind of promoting it at other packs or? Have they had like playable demos of it?
No, this is the first time it'll be playable.
Yeah.
But it is like, you know, 2 months from release, so.
Yeah.
It's pretty close.
I
want to take it over and say.
Yep.
We are like just kind of chatting amongst ourselves now rather than doing it.
Yeah. I guess before we close out, have Sarah, you don't obviously won't have anything in the queue. And
no.
Throw your blue
just a virus.
Yeah. Nearly gone. Esoteric on Blue Sky is where you're going to find me these days. The Twitter is gone. We bin FOD farewell, and unfortunately you're just not going to find me anywhere else. So, yeah. So feel free to chat to me on there. I usually respond to a heck of a lot of stuff. So go for gold.
And Tim, you got anything in the pipeline for the site?
It's been a busy couple of weeks. I mean, I could still try and type up like the results of our last little discussion.
Ah, yes. Cool. And
reminder, of course, Mega Drive 2 is a good looking console, it turns out.
And of course, for you on Blue Sky,
otherwise, at Pretend Beard, yeah, Blue Sky, I was a very early Twitter jump shipperer.
Yep.
Okay. So for me, hopefully by the time the pod is out, my write up for Pac-Man World 2 Repack should be out. I haven't got anything else in the pipeline for that. And for me on Blue Sky, it's just Rob Cap. I didn't want to have my full name because of how long it is. So just to squeeze it down a bit. And with that, thank you all very much for tuning in and enjoying this. And we'll see you in a few weeks with the next episode.
Play the game where you try and like guess how to spell Rob's surname fully off the top of your head. I can do it now because I've written up so many fucking site posts.
This is why I don't use my name on the internet.
Like that O in the middle is the one that always got me.
This is the reason why I don't use my real name on the internet, because, oh my god.